Oh, I have had no luck lately. Wait, lady luck?
Britsky, I got you. I've had so much luck on SpinQuest.com. They have all of my favorite games, slot games, live blackjack craps, and bubble craps. You can even get a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
10 bucks for 30? I'm headed over to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game and The Game Nashville app. We are live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios, and we are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. Waiting on Elliot Friedman of the 32 Thoughts podcast and of Sportsnet. One thing that I wanted to touch on with him, of many things, is the news today that Ottawa Senators Shane Pinto was suspended for half of the season for violating NHL gambling rules. Now, I know this doesn't directly affect the Nashville Predators, of course, but I go back to last season in the NFL. Calvin Ridley gets suspended for betting on NFL games. And that was really kind of the first domino to fall. It was really only Calvin Ridley. And then once the Calvin Ridley news came out, then I guess the NFL started looking into it a little bit more. The punishments became a little bit more, frequent. Because once Calvin Ridley came out, then it was, dropping like flies. You heard of all of these suspensions coming out in the NFL for gambling rules. Now, Shane Pinto, unless I've completely missed something, Willie, this sounds like the first big domino to fall in the NHL for violating those gambling rules.
Yeah, so remember the question came up when this was going down. People were like, well, what's the policy in the NHL and the NBA and Major League Baseball?
Because I didn't really know.
Yeah, and so maybe we'll find out a little bit more. But 41 games, that is pretty harsh.
Harsh.
So it's pretty serious. And now, I don't believe he bet on NHL games. I think that is the headline or the first part that I read. And I can understand why Elliot might be a little late because he's been working on this. I believe he broke this story this morning. So hopefully we'll be able to hook up with him here soon.
So wagering on any NHL game, even where it is legal, is absolutely prohibited and will constitute conduct that is dishonorable, prejudicial to, and or against the welfare of the league or the game of hockey. So you can't bet on the NHL. So the conversation that was being had in the NFL was that seems like a really dramatic punishment. 6 games for betting in the facility for the NFL, which is a rule that I believe is unique to the NFL, which is what got Nicholas Petitfrère was he bet in the facility, not on NFL games, but he bet, on NFL grounds. And it was a 6-game suspension for that. So a lot of people were saying that seems a little bit dramatic. But the counter argument was that's just the NFL's way of saying that we have zero tolerance for this. That it might seem like a severe punishment because the NFL views it as a severe act. I think this is the NHL's way of saying, hey, look, we have zero tolerance for this.
And what was going on, too, is Shane Pinto is a good young player that was unsigned because we thought, and this is still a factor, Ottawa was right up against the salary cap. They were going to have to move some things around to have room to sign him. He's a good player. But I do wonder, because this has been going on behind the scenes without our knowledge for a while, and they came out with that this was negotiated and it will not be appealed and this is final. So that it didn't just pop up this morning. So I do wonder what the team, the agent, especially the team, knew what was happening or not happening behind the scenes with this factor. Saying if we sign this guy, so there's no hurry to sign him, as it turns out, because he's suspended for 41 games.
But it doesn't, their investigation found that he didn't bet on NHL games. So again, it goes back to the question that we had with NFL players. If it's not NFL games, then why should they be suspended? If it wasn't an NHL game, and I get it. We're talking about the integrity of the game and these sports, these franchises. We consider betting like it's a no-no, like over any and everything else. It's a no-no. Mm-hmm. But 41 games? Good Lord. That seemed excessive for a guy that didn't bet. Now, I don't know the whole story like that, the intricacies of what went on, the investigation or not. But it just seems like this was too, it was too massive of a suspension if it wasn't for
on hockey games.
Hockey games, yeah.
It is interesting. And it, they say explicitly it was not that, for betting on
absolutely.
NHL games.
Is gambling illegal in Ottawa?
I don't believe so.
It can't.
Because it could be part of the NHL gambling policy, which it says explicitly that you cannot bet on NHL games. Got it, understood, easy. But maybe it's part of the NHL gambling policy that if you place a bet in an area where gambling is illegal, mm-hmm. then that is a direct infraction of the NHL gambling policy.
Now,
that's
do
a good
we
question.
Know what
I don't
site
know.
It
I don't,
was
I'm
on?
Not remembering if I... There are some Canadian cities where the casino's right there, right next door. So I don't know how Ottawa.
Windsor's, we used to go over there all the time. It's right there. Yeah. Detroit's right there. So, you figure, but I wonder, okay, was it with a particular sport book or was it with just a individual that is not associated with a sports book but associated with something else?
In what way?
A bad way. Like you're betting with someone that you shouldn't be betting with.
Like a bookie?
Like a bookie, yeah. Somebody that's, you know, like you shouldn't be in that area or you shouldn't be with these people making bets.
And Shane Pinto, by the way, is an American player. So he might have his home. I think he's from the state of New York somewhere. Mm-hmm. So that could be a factor here. Where was it? Because if it started over the summer, in theory, he may not have been in Ottawa specifically. Just to, for your theory of...
Right.
Where you made the bets, who you placed the bets with, was it the,
was
I,
it,
I hate to make,
was it
know,
the bookie?
If it's New York, I hate to make the stereotype of, you know, the Godfather. And
yeah,
Greedo
right, a guy in a sweatsuit.
Yeah.
That guy, you should
know.
Be betting with that guy.
The sleeping with the fishes guy, yeah.
Yeah.
Not
you shouldn't be betting with that guy. No. But it's just, and hopefully we will get more information. More information that will come out. I'm sure the league won't put out more because they put out, listen, there was no evidence we found that he bet on hockey games. So hopefully, you know, we can get more information as this thing kind of, you know, proceeds. But it seems like it's a closed case for the NHL now. No appeals, no nothing. It's just 41 games.
And it had to be pretty clear cut for him to say, I'll take the 41 games.
Mm-hmm.
Because
there has to be
41
in there that was
he knows he messed up.
Yeah,
if he didn't do anything wrong, you would say 41 games. You got to be kidding!
Like
you
know, I just bet on a college football game or a few of them, you know. But it makes you think either the NHL is just hard line on this particular topic and they're not moving. And if it says you're going to be suspended 41 games, you saw it in the rule book, you know exactly what it means. We're not coming off of it. It's either that or it's some other stuff that can potentially, you know, it could have potentially been even worse. So they're like, you know what, we're just going to suspend you for 41 games. We're going to keep everything in the wraps and don't appeal it. And everything will be fine. You come back.
And I know for a lot of our fans, you might be saying, like, who is Shane Pinto? I've never heard of him. Right? And he plays for Ottawa. He's in the East. The Predators haven't played many games against it. But he is a good young player. And so I think in Canada especially, this is going to be a big story because he's been unsigned. He, for example, as a restricted free agent, is what he is. You could, during the suspension,
Sign
an offer sheet. You could throw an offer sheet out at him, right? So that would be interesting because the Senators have no cap room. They would have a hard time matching an offer sheet during this. I'm just throwing that. So there's going to be all kinds of stuff with this. But I also, for Shane Pinto, I hope this doesn't derail his career. This is not a fringe player that's lucky to be in the league. That would be easy to say, oh, we don't need to deal with this.
He's
Let's
a good
just cut
player.
The guy. This is a guy that has a good future playing. He's a good player.
And my perspective of it is, and I have probably have a different perspective, being in Tennessee where sports betting has been legal for, 3 years now? A long time. Where I think I'm desensitized to it, where maybe 10, 15 years ago it was, you're betting on games? No. Like the Pete Rose kind of, you know, red A that's now on his chest for doing a no-no thing that now is so widely accepted. But I don't know the perspective in hockey circles, Willie.
Let me clarify one thing. I thought I read this right, but I read it wrong. He cannot sign an offer sheet. Okay. So forget about that.
Okay. Yeah. So I think when I looked at the guys in the NFL, it was like, look, that was dumb. You know, you shouldn't have done that. But I don't think that the guys in the NFL were labeled as a bad guy. It was just, look, you did something dumb. You should have known the rules. Now you're suspended for it, but we'll move on. What's the perspective of that like in hockey circles of sports betting? Is it bad or is it just, look, you shouldn't have done that. Learn your lesson. Serve your time. Move on.
I think because there's a high percentage, not as much as maybe there was 40 or 50 years ago. There's still a high percentage of Canadian players. In Canada, there are, I think, more cities that have had the gambling legalized like it is now in the States. Whereas, you know, go back, turn the clock back 10, 15 years, there were still most of the states. You could not, outside of Vegas and Atlantic City, maybe a couple other isolated spots. I think in Canada, it was much easier for you to find a casino down the road. So I feel like it's been a little more accepted. And I don't think they've ever had a Pete Rose kind of scandal where you had somebody, you know, or the Black Sox or anything like that. Hockey has avoided that. I think you heard, just like any other sport, you know, this guy likes to gamble on the horses or whatever. There are some people that do that. But I don't think there's ever been an issue with the game, the integrity of the game, which is the biggest thing you're trying to protect with this, right?
And which is why I think the NHL has given him a punishment as harsh as half of the season, is because they want to show, look, we have zero tolerance for this. That if you want to do what you want to do on your own time, that's fine within the confines of the NHL rules. And I think that after we've gone through this with the NFL, you know, initially Calvin Ridley and then so many other players, Jameson Williams being one of them, several Lions players, my first thought was, I really, really hope that within the Tennessee Titans locker room, the rules were laid out very clearly of this is what you can do, this is what you can't do. And of course, you know, Nicholas Petit-Frere gets caught for betting on NFL grounds, whether you think it's dumb or not, it's the rule. There were so many articles that had come out from veteran players saying, look, we didn't really know what the rules were. We didn't know what we could and couldn't do. From the NHL side of things and from the Nashville Predators side of things, I hope that the rules have been very clearly laid out, because this is something silly to lose a really good player for half of the season.
Yeah, I do think that is going to be one of many questions that happen going forward here is, how did this come to light? I know there's probably some privacy involved here, but I think it would be educational for the Players Association, because that is what happened with the NFL guys. Mm-hmm. Is it, oh, man, he made a bet at the facility? I know some guys that have done that. Exactly. You know, that's kind of what happened. You're worried, how many guys are going to come to light here? Yeah. So I hope that that's not what we're going to see here. We'll hope that this is an isolated incident. And like you said, I would hope that every league, when the NFL was going through that process, was saying, oh, hey, guys, let's make sure we know what we can do here. Everybody knows the gambling thing is a big thing now. We're taking the money. It's here to stay. Let's just make sure we're clear on if you guys want to make a bet on another sport or something like that, what you can do, what you can't do.
Right.
Shane Pinto, yeah. Obviously, if they had those meetings,
didn't
he was not present.
Memo.
He was not paying attention. Or he was not in the room when it was happening.
I just want to know what he did.
I do too.
So you can avoid it in the future.
I would think if I'm a player, I want to know what he did.
Right.
Exactly.
So I won't do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, because if you say, well, it wasn't, you know, NHL games, then okay, if it wasn't NHL games, then why was it so egregious enough that he got suspended 41 games? As you should, I mean, association, Players Association, don't you have that right to know? So you then won't do that?
Then
because if it wasn't betting on hockey games, then what did he get suspended for?
I don't know, but it is clear that the Players Association mm-hmm. is on board with the suspension, because they said there's no appeal.
Okay.
So they had the knowledge. So it must have been like, hey, man, we'd like to help you, Shane, but they got you on this one.
But then, I mean, I guess the Players Association will, you know, as they do, I think, at every professional level, the information you get as the, 40-something player reps, you then, you know, take that to your team and you let the team disseminate it how they feel they need to. So I don't know, but 41 games, just, man, that's a lot.
Willie, would you say this is worse than Evander Kane's situation?
See, that's a really interesting thing to bring up. Evander Kane, for those that don't know, reportedly, and I think it's pretty much public record, he amassed a lot of debt through, I think, legal gambling in Vegas and stuff.
Correct.
He was running up big debts and declared bankruptcy. That's where some of that came to light. And it got to the point where his team, the Sharks, said, we don't want this trouble anymore. We don't want him. What do we do? And Edmonton ended up getting him for pennies on the dollar. And he hasn't had any big issues since then. He's always been kind of a mercurial player who's been up and down, a very talented player, and he's done very well for the Oilers. But that's a great question about what did they find with his gambling habits. Obviously, it wasn't on the game, and I'm trying to remember. Was he suspended by the league at some point? Let me look that up, because that's a great example.
So do you think now that I'm sort of processing that and then hearing that, do you think it was something to that nature that he probably ran up a tab? And
I don't know if there's a rule in place that you can't run
but
up a tab.
I know that, but then if you can't pay it, now you get into the same situation Evander Kane was in.
If Evander Kane was suspended, because I think that
he was suspended for violations of the COVID protocols. I'm looking back through his checkered past.
Yeah. Did you not bet on games during COVID?
No, this was just him.
Yeah,
he crossed the border or something like that. Okay. There was some disregard for the protocols.
But his losses in 2020 were $1.5 million.
For gambling. Yeah.
Goodness, man.
Well, maybe you'd just be better at gambling if you're going to gamble that much. My goodness.
I don't think he was ever suspended for gambling. I'm looking through the annals here.
But don't you think the NHL probably sort of after that situation probably went in and, modified some of their rules based upon that? They couldn't suspend
them. To protect the players?
Yeah, to protect the players.
Maybe so.
And modified some of the rules based upon that. We can't suspend them, but let's make sure this doesn't happen again. And if it does, then these rules are in place to make a guy say, hey, listen, you need to think about the consequences before you start doing this.
Maybe so. And one thing that's been pointed out by a few people on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHandy.com, like one texter says, you get less for smoking weed. And there was a big sentiment when all of the NFL, accusers came out of, well, they're getting 6 games for placing a bet at the facility, where Deshaun Watson got how many, 6, 7 for 30 plus women coming forward of sexual assault, or domestic violence offenders got less games. And
that's where you get into very complicated conversation.
Yeah.
And there's very clear hypocrisy and a really unfortunate realization of priorities, maybe by the league, where placing a bet is so trivial and seems so silly compared to domestic violence or sexual violence and sexual assault. And it's I'd have no other response other than it's unfortunate.
Well,
but that's the league's priorities. The league has shown that the integrity of the game is of utmost importance.
They value the integrity of the game over any and all things because it affects not just that particular moment, but it affects the fans or the betting world. It affects their It affects them.
Integrity?
Yeah, integrity. It affects the integrity of, whatever league it is. Now I'm placing a bet and I'm worried, is this on the up and up? Is this game on the up and up? Is this person, like NBA,
basketball? Yeah, that's
what you cannot have. The refs, that's why it was a big thing with that ref, when the ref got busted for point shaving. It's like you don't want that to bleed into your fan base or to your betting base, because once it does that, It's done. You're done.
Right.
We can get over the Kaepernick stuff. We can get over, the Vic stuff or the Ben Roth. We can get over all of that. But we can't get over the integrity being messed around with when our betting world, our betting fans, and our actual, casual fans start to question, Is this on an up and up?
Yeah.
You can't get over that.
Yeah. Whether it's something as little as, you know, a couple of dollars here and there on an NFL game, or if it's something as large as fixing games, mm-hmm. which is illegal. That's the league's priority.
And you get into this whole thing of, okay, if you've amassed a lot of debt gambling legally, but you are at the mercy of a lot of people saying, hey, man,
are you going to start doing some illegal things?
Right. Is that pushing you to do things, say, oh, I know a way you could make this up. Don't score the next five games. You know, there's... You could see how that could present itself,
it
right? We talked
snowball.
About this with college baseball last year with, you know, the whole thing with the coach from Alabama.
Yeah, like he pulled his starting pitcher, what, a couple hours before the game?
Right.
And put in
and
a
the
pitcher,
irregularities
like,
started showing
starts?
Up. Yeah.
Wild. Crazy, crazy. We will chat with Elliot Friedman. We'll catch up with him probably tomorrow. He's on a plane, so we're not able to chat with Elliot Friedman today. But we'll chat up. We will catch up with him soon. This week's Nashville's Best Deal is from Bad Axe Throwing Nashville. Go to thegamenashville.com/deals to get a $50 gift card for only $25. Bad Axe Throwing Nashville, Nashville's largest axe throwing venue, located downtown at 648 Fog Street.
I heard the hockey boys can certainly booze a little bit. Let's start talking about not just the refs are awesome over there. How about the equipment managers?
Oh.
How about the equipment managers in hockey can actually be a part of the game? You know, whenever you utilize a stick, there's a chance that that thing could break. Well, whenever you're on the ice and you're flying around, you got a broken stick, you ain't worth a damn.
Mm-mm.
How do you get a stick fast enough? Boom, you get an equipment manager that is like Superman, grabbing that stick, holding it over. And then what? This is Pete Rogers, equipment manager for the Nashville Predators, handing off to Luke Evangelista. And what's he have? Breakaway.
Oh.
Go time. Silky mitts. And the boys all celebrate Pete Rogers.
That could be fired up. Fired up about the Preds equipment managers. Shout out. So much deserved airtime.
Yeah.
And a little shout out to our crew, our people that captured that footage, and I know Sarah Giles is the one that heads up our the social media for the Predators. She got the clip of the video across the way of the bench the whole time, and one of the players was mic'd up so you could hear what was going on. So it was a great angle of that. She put together the social media clip that went nuts.
Shout out, Sarah.
Again, great job, Sarah. And our broadcast picked up on that. We did a little feature. We had an interview with Pete. That was a really cool thing. So kudos to Pat McAfee. He is doing a really good job. It's one thing to say, I'll do a hockey segment on my show.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe deep down you're like grudgingly doing it because, like, you know, we got a lot of the things that maybe, but he's really diving into it and you can hear the enthusiasm. And I think that is got to be something that's really exciting for the NHL to say, this guy, you know, now excuse him. He's a Pittsburgh Penguins fan. Mm-hmm. He admits that on there, so I know that's a little bitter thinking back to 2017, but he's really championing some of the things that go on in games and pointing out the right things as to why hockey is awesome. It's one thing to say, yeah, hockey's awesome, man. Yeah, see all those goals they scored last night? Yeah, and you know the guy's heart's not really in it, right? But that's pretty legit. I'm impressed what
he's
doing.
Well, it's his energy that brings it for you, you know, in regards to hockey. It's when you talk about it, it's energetic with him. Whatever he talks about is energetic, whether he's talking about football, NFL, college, baseball, everything with him is energy, 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 getting all that energy out and making it exciting. And he's done that with his, you know, version of, you know, talking about hockey. He's making it exciting for those who, you know, love to watch him. Whether it be on ESPN or his podcast, whatever. But you know, it's good when someone, because for so long on ESPN, you got your hockey guys, then you got your football guys or girls or hockey girls or guys, and then you have some that kind of dabble in, you know, both football and basketball, but you don't have many that dabble in football and hockey or basketball and hockey.
Especially basketball,
exactly,
and hockey,
absolutely.
Because it's the same. It's going on at the same time.
Exactly. You know? So when you have this going on, it's like a guy that dabbles in everything. hockey, football, baseball, whatever. But he brings energy and passion along with it. And it allows people to want to know more about it and want to listen.
Mm-hmm. I think Nashville Predators could have used a little bit of Pat McAfee's energy and passion. And that's something that Andrew Burnett mentioned after the Predators' loss on Tuesday night was it came out flat. Just didn't have a ton of – weren't playing with a ton of energy or pizzazz. Mm-hmm. And I think one thing that has been concerning – maybe concern is a little bit of a strong word, but I'll use it anyways, about two of the leaders on this team in Philip Forsberg and Roman Josi. A fairly slow start. Roman Josi has yet to get the puck in the net. Now, Forsberg, he's had production, only one goal on the season. I would say a rather slow start, slower than expected for those two. And really, from your perspective, because the Predators not playing tonight, but they will host the Toronto Maple Leaf Separation Arena on Saturday. Is this a factor of... look, new coach, new system, two guys that have been playing together in a system for, you know, the past few years. It just takes some getting used to, takes some acclimating with new teammates, a new system. Is this what is this? What is plaguing Josi and Forsberg?
I think concerned is the right word. And I'd say on the level of concern, you know, on a 1 to 10, it's definitely not a 10. You know, right. I feel like there's some positive numbers, a lot of positive numbers that would suggest that over time, that they will get their production.
Yeah.
As far as the system, I believe that Philip Forsberg is loving the system that they're playing in. It's very offense-friendly. It fits his game very, very well. And I think it's just a matter of time before he starts getting those goals. He tends to get them in bunches. He's getting more shots than he's ever gotten before in his career. And so that should lead to more goals. So I'm not at all, I shouldn't say at all. At some point, you got to put it in there, right? This team desperately needs those two guys to pull their weight offensively if they're going to get enough goals, right? Colton Sissons picked up the slack. He's not a goal scorer, right? But he's got four goals.
Yeah.
You know, other guys have chipped in, and that's what they're expected to do is to chip in. But they need Forsberg and Josi to have their production. And so it's early, and I believe that will happen. So Forsberg, I think, the fit of the system. I think the guy who's adjusting to the system more is Josi because they're much more pass the puck up the ice rather than skate the puck up the ice. And Roman Josi is maybe as good as there is at skating the puck up the ice, making people miss, driving in and drawing defensive coverage breakdowns because he's got the puck and you can't take it away from him. He's too fast. And then he hits the open man or shoots it himself. They're trying to do it a little different. And so him being the coachable guy, the team guy that he is, he wants to do that. He wants to play the system the way the coach wants to have it played, even if it means he's got to make some adjustments. So I think that's something that they are working on. And I think it will get better as the season goes along. And maybe there needs to be a little, you know, mm-hmm. You probably played for a team, D-Mace, where the system is there for everybody, mm-hmm. but certain guys have some special rules within the system. They're like, you're allowed to do this. Donick can't do it, but McCaffrey's allowed. McCaffrey can shoot this shot.
Yeah, but
it's
Donick,
going in.
No,
Donick, you no, you're passing. You are not shooting in this situation.
Donick, you bet not shoot that ball. But I think every you know, when you make a coaching change, there's that period of adjustment for everybody. Some people get to it a little bit quicker than others because it probably matches up more with what they can do as a player. Some guys, it takes them a little bit longer. Not that they can't do it, but they're so used to doing it this way. For instance, like, you know, for me, I had to get used to playing, you know, the inside, the slot receiver, because for so long, even in college, I was an outside guy. Not that I couldn't do it, but I had to learn the intricacies of being a slot receiver, knowing what defenders are, finding zones, knowing how teams like to play or how the quarterback likes or where he likes to throw the ball within the zone if you're a slot receiver. So a guy that's all he's played, he's good at it. He can do it, but for me, it took me a minute to get my adjustments right, and then I was okay. And it seems like that's what's going on here. Once they finally figure it out, everything adjusts, then you will see me play more. Not that I don't want you. You're coaching me up and I'm doing it, but I'm doing it at a little bit slower pace. And then after, you know, say another five or six games, maybe I'm at that pace with everybody else now.
It's natural. It's to be expected, yeah, as long as you start to see the development, yeah, come along game over game.
Yeah, and we did a study. We asked SportLogic, which is the analytics site that we use for the Predators, and we said, okay, let's take a look at Roman Josi's analytics. You know, what are you seeing? And they came back and said, you know, he's got 24 shots on goal, which is second only to Forsberg. So Forsberg's got one goal on 33 shots. Now, that's a shooting percentage of 3%. Like, he's not a 3% shooter, right? Good shooters are going to be around 10% over the course. So he's had – there's a lot of factors that could be, but what's the quality? That's what we ask. Roman Josi has no goals on 24 shots. So that's – he, you know, he's a bounce away from it going off somebody's skate or somebody's shin pad and going in. Or the goalie missed. So you should get a couple that way. But more importantly, the shot quality he's getting is good. It's not like he's not threatening at all. So there are some good signs that he is picking up the system, that he's still getting his looks, he's still creating some things, but it is a little different for him on how he's going about it. And I think that's where the coaching staff, Andrew Burnett, talking to Roman Josi, going through this, they're trying to find solutions to this.
Do you
What's the best solution to making sure your superstar player is in position to do his great things?
Do you think he's getting the ball up the ice different than he did last year?
Yes, okay. I think he's trying to. I think instead of I'm just taking it coast to coast, we were marveling at Wembanyama last night. He can get a rebound. Mm-hmm. At 7 foot, what is he? 7'6"? 7'5"?
7 foot whatever.
Seven
like
whatever.
7 forever.
I mean, just tall. Watch this guy for 5 minutes. You'd be like, oh my God, what am I looking at here? But he can get the rebound and dribble it down to the other 3-point line and shoot it. Like, he's, even though he's 7'5", he's like a guard. And you know, certain point guards, you get it, you don't need to outlet it. But the fastest way to get the puck up the ice is to pass it up. So there's advantages in being able to do that. And that is the system. You want to put the defense on their heels. So Josi is wanting to make, and he's very capable of doing that. And so I think it's just different the way they have been playing.
Steve is on the line with a thought on Philip Forsberg. What's up, Steve?
Hey, I go to the games, and yeah, Forsberg, he only has one goal, but if you remember the goal he had, he took the puck across the blue line in front of the left circle, skated over the right circle, and went and did a slap shot. He normally does wristers, but he wound up his slap shot, and I mean, it went blew past the goalie, which was awesome.
Oh, it was an awesome shot.
He also feeds a lot of other players, and you know, gets assists. So, but his stick skills are one of the best on the team. But yeah, at due time he'll get goals. He's going to have these new players come in that can feed him at the right moment to get a shot. So I just wanted to include that. Thanks.
Yeah, thanks for your call, Steve.
Four assists for Forsberg, three for Josi. So they're getting production that way.
Mm-hmm.
Philip also said in the wake of that goal, he said he has made an adjustment on the type of stick he's using. And I don't know all of the ins and outs of, you know, the flexion and things like that, what he's looking for, but he still might be adjusting to that too, where he thinks he's going to be ahead once he's fully, adjusted to that, you know, with the wrist shot and things like that. So he's trying to get to another level, but I would imagine there's a little bit of adjustment going on there, too.
I think Kara Hammer was talking about that.
Kara had a good discussion with him in the after that goal happened, and he mentioned that.
Yeah, and it's one of those things that you see the production. And even if it doesn't, you're not getting the puck in the net, you can see the little breadcrumbs of you're getting the production, you're getting the shots, it's not falling in the net, but something's got to give at some point. There's going to be a breakthrough at some point. And I think we are going to see that soon with Roman Josi. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll continue into your thoughts, but also Got a Thursday night football game tonight. The Buffalo Bills hosting the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So we'll get your best bets of the night with Ali Milnicki of Zen Sports, who will join us coming up next. Caroline Willie, D. Mays, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Caroline Willie, D. Mays, 102.5, 106.3 The Game and the Game Nashville app. We've got some Thursday night football action tonight. Buffalo Bills hosting the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And joining us now to get your best bets of tonight and of the football weekend is Ali Milnicki of Zen Sports. Ali, appreciate you for joining us and always appreciate your expert insight on the sports books for the NFL weekend. Bucks, Bills. The Bills really have not looked as dominant maybe as we expected them to. A rough loss against the Patriots, who have struggled so far this season. Who do you like in Bucks, Bills tonight in Buffalo?
Yeah, that was a tough one last week against the Patriots, but they were hungry. They also struggled the week before against my New York Giants. Giants could have beaten them if they called that pass interference at the end, but that's another story. I actually think the Bills bounce back tonight. I haven't been impressed with Baker Mayfield and the Bucs all season. They really struggled against Atlanta last week, and Atlanta pretty much put him in positions to win, but Baker became turnover prone. I know that Buffalo does have a lot of injuries. I know that it's a short week, but I like this team to bounce back from two pretty disappointing showings, even though one resulted in a win.
Anytime touchdown scorers, Stephon Diggs has the best odds at plus 100 than James Cook and Rashad White, both at plus 120. If you're looking to put some money on a prop bet, who do you like as an anytime touchdown scorer for good value?
Well, Diggs is always the go-to, but if you want a little value, I'd actually go with Dalton Kincaid, the tight end of the Bills. He has some pretty good chemistry with Josh Allen. I think that they could do something tonight.
Now, Ali, looking at what game did I have?
We got to ask her about the Giants. Yeah,
Giants, Jets, that may be a – I don't know what that will be. But, here's the game that I was looking at. The Patriots and the Dolphins. The Dolphins are -9.5, over-under is 47, somewhere around there. With Tyreek Hill, coming out about Tyreek Hill, that he may not play, do you think this is a safe bet to go with the under?
I would honestly stay away from this game, to be honest with you. I don't know what Patriots team we're going to get, if we're going to get the Mac Jones of last week or the Mac Jones from the weeks prior to that. The Dolphins, though, they can still put up points. That's what I'm not worried about. Even with Tyreek Hill out, you still have Jaylen Waddle. You have an intense running game. I'm not worried about the Dolphins putting up points. What I am worried about is the Patriots putting up points. And I know that Miami doesn't have the best defense, but we've seen Mac Jones at his worst. And when he's at his worst, it isn't pretty. So this is a game I just would watch, not pay attention. Not bet, I should say. But this one could get ugly, or it could be close. It's one of those toss-ups.
Now, how about the Vikings-Packers? Kirk Cousins looked terrific this past weekend. The Packers continue to slip, but this one is a +1.5, +2, somewhere around there with the Packers. Should you stay away from this one, or should you go with the +1.5?
I actually like the Packers here. And, Jordan Love has struggled in the past few games. Kirk Cousins looked amazing on Monday night. I actually did have the Vikings upsetting the 49ers, even with Christian McCaffrey there. But I do like betting against teams coming off the Monday night football game. It's a short week. It's a short time for them to get the tapes out and study it. So I'm going to go with the Packers on this one, pulling off the mini upset over the Vikings.
Ali, I'm curious. Giants-Jets is always a really interesting game up there, you being a Giants fan. They don't play each other. They play each other all the time in the preseason, but they rarely do in the NFL season. Have you ever been to a Giants-Jets game? I'm really curious what the atmosphere is like. I realize it's a Giants home game, so their season ticket holders have the seats. I just wonder how many Jets fans infiltrate in there.
Even if the Jets were considered the home team, you would still see the majority of Giants fans there. The Jets seem to be just like the little brother everyone kind of
spoken like a true Giants fan.
So how do you break that one down? The Giants, like you said, have been playing pretty well.
They have, and it looks like Tyrod Taylor is going to go again. He seems to have good chemistry, especially with Darren Waller. I'm not opposed to keeping Daniel Jones out another week. We're still waiting word if we'll get Andrew Thomas back, our Pro Bowl left tackle. That would be a huge boost. So I still think that the way we're playing, especially almost upsetting the Bills a few weeks ago, beating the Commanders last week, I have a good feeling about this game. I think that our offense continues to score. Saquon, I think, is going to have another huge game. So I'm pretty confident about my Giants this week.
Question for you, Allie. As an outsider, I looked at Tyrod Taylor's performance this past week, and I said, heck, he might be better than Daniel Jones. How'd you feel about it as a Giants fan?
I've been hearing that from everyone that's not a Giants fan.
Yep, that makes sense.
But I will say, in Daniel Jones' defense, he didn't have Justin Pugh for those two games that Tyrod Taylor had. Pugh obviously was infamous on the Sunday night game, saying he was right off the couch. He was one of the best for us when he started for us, so he's a big help. And Jones didn't have Saquon those last two games either. Saquon makes such a difference. Defenses really have to plan around him. When Saquon's out, they know the Giants don't have a run game behind Breida and Gray. So I still think Daniel Jones is our guy. I give 1,000% props to Tyrod Taylor. He's one of the best backups, if not the best in the league. So I'm happy he's playing with us right now.
Big game, huge game for the Tennessee Titans this weekend against the Atlanta Falcons. 2.5-point home dogs to the Falcons. What are you thinking about this game?
Well, I'm wondering if there's going to be any more trades before the game.
You and me both.
But I do actually like the Titans to bounce back. The Falcons, if there's one thing about them, they struggle to score. I don't know why Desmond Ritter's still the quarterback here. I think the Titans, even with the trade earlier this week, they have a chance to pull off the mini upset. So coming off a bye, I'm going to go with the Titans.
Last one for you, Allie. Allie Melnicki of Zen Sports. Best bet of the weekend.
Ooh, that's a tough one there. I hate to say it, but I think the Chiefs somehow, it's a big spread against Denver, but I don't know how Denver keeps up with them. Pat Mahomes has owned Denver since he came into the league. I think I wrote a stat that the Chiefs are something like 11-5 against the spread in their last 16 games against Denver. I hate laying that big of a point, especially with a road team in a division rivalry game, but the Chiefs, if Taylor Swift's in the crowd, I think they'll be fine.
That's the Taylor Swift effect. Allie Melnicki of Zen Sports. Thanks for stopping by, Allie. We'll chat with you next week.
Thank you.
All right, thanks, Allie. I mean, that is the Denver Broncos.
Oh, my goodness. They got what they asked for. Man. And that team is just, they're not good. Okay. Even
not
with Sean
good.
Payton, they're not. But the game I am interested in this week is Jacksonville and Pittsburgh. That's going to be,
ooh, wow.
That's going to be a slugfest,
especially
right there.
From the Titans' point
exactly,
of view.
Yeah.
They play Pittsburgh on Thursday, which mm-hmm. is a week from tonight, and, of course, always monitoring what Jacksonville is doing. Mm-hmm. She brought up a really interesting thought from the outside, like, will there be another trade before the game? Because, obviously, you're game planning a certain way. Or can you say, look, okay, we have a deal in principle, but let's keep it, and we'll talk on Sunday night, you know, once this game's over.
We'll continue to break that down tomorrow, starting at 11 a.m. Stillman and Company is up next.
Be love and love on your people. Peace. Stay
here. Hey, everybody. Lady Luck here. And we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now, all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on FinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com. Get yourself a $30 coin pack for just $10.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.